Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for gathering us here this morning for worship, for song, for the word, and for fellowship, Lord. And so, as we gather here, we ask that your Spirit would open our hearts, our minds, help us to be receptive to the moving of your presence here in this place. On this Mother's Day, we give thanks to our mothers who have tirelessly and sometimes unceremoniously been the ones who have raised us, who have fed us and clothed us and took care of us. And God, we give you thanks for all the mothers here. Lord, we also recognize that this day may also be a painful day for some, for mothers who have lost their children. Lord, we ask that this would be a day of not only mourning, but a day of healing and peace. Lord, we also recognize those who could not be mothers. Lord, we ask that you would minister to their hearts as well, but that they may in turn may be mother figures for those. And so we give thanks for all of the mother figures that we have had throughout our lives, for their maternal instinct, for their care and compassion, and for their kindness. Lord, we celebrate all today. Lord, we also give thanks because you protect and you guide us and you care for us, and we live in the shelter of your wings. And so, Lord, we are eternally grateful for your love, your care and compassion for us. We lift up prayers for our friends, our family members, our fellow students and coworkers who are in our immediate vicinity. Lord, those who are struggling, who are in need of your guidance, for those who are dealing with anger, confusion, and frustration. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would move mightily and powerfully in their lives, that you would use us to be your hands and feet, so that we might be able to be your ambassadors and your disciples. Lord, we also lift up prayers for our brothers and sisters all across the world who are in need of your help and your guidance. Lord, we ask that we would not turn a blind eye, that we would not have callous hearts, or that we would not turn away from opportunities for us to be your ambassadors of love and hope. We take a moment of silence and we ask that you would speak to our hearts, you would challenge us, that you would inspire us, that we might be able to see and perceive needs and opportunities as well. And so we lift up this time of silence and we ask that you would speak to us. Lord, we lift these prayers to you and we know and we trust that you hear and that in your timing that you respond. We pray these prayers as we pray the prayer your Son taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Scripture lesson this morning is taken from Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountain, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your rivers of delight. For you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jane. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, let us hear these words from the psalmist. Let us take them in and let it be our statement of faith. Speak to us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to just show you this picture that I took with my cell phone. So it's kind of a little bit dark, but I'll tell you the story. On April 21st, I sat down for breakfast, and I saw this hay, this grass hanging from the bird feeder, and I thought, what in the world is that? And so I got up and I looked a little more closely, and then a robin flew in. I said, oh, I know what this is. So I did what you would expect me to do. I took a picture of it and put it on Facebook. And I asked on Facebook, I said, should I evict or should I allow this nest to be built? And despite the fact that there was going to be a big mess underneath the bird feeder, despite that there would be squawking and screaming anytime that we wanted to eat out on the patio, despite that it was going to stop the real function of the bird feeder for a while, every single person on Facebook said, let the robin alone. And so I did. And so I have to tell you that the kind of person I am, not only could I did I leave it alone, but I had to then do some research. So I started reading about robins, and I went to a number of sites on the web and looked at them. And it's the mother robin that builds the nest. She starts with some of this larger, long grass and uses mud to kind of stick it into place. Then she takes a smaller, finer, and she kind of creates this cup. So when the robin is taken off, I've gone and I've looked at the nest. It's about the size of a little 8-ounce cup, and fills that with a drier, finer grass. And I could tell when the robin started to lay the eggs and started to brood because she was there, sitting there. Now, I read that robins usually, they build from 5 to 20 feet up above the ground. This is probably at 5 feet. The nests are often in the crook of a tree or on a couple of branches balanced, but many of you probably have had the experience. They're in gutters, they're in eaves, they're on top of light fixtures, right? And here it is in a bird feeder. And the thing with this is that I also read that sometimes robins will build additional nests. They'll build a bunch of nests, and then they'll choose one to put their eggs in. Well, this is the one where she chose to put her eggs. So I have to tell you that when I started thinking about and watching this robin, because I was watching this robin out the window, I couldn't help but think about metaphors. Because in my line of work, it's often about metaphors, right? It's like, how am I going to preach and use words that will help people to better understand God, help me to better understand God and how God works in this world through Jesus Christ? And as a matter of fact, my doctoral thesis is about using metaphor for God, not only the ones that are biblically based, but the metaphors that we create in our own lives out of our own experiences to help explain God. So I'm kind of into this. And I thought, well, you know, where you probably start in terms of a bird is to look at what it says as a metaphor for God using this image of a bird in the Bible. Well, we heard one, and I have to say it says in your bulletin that it's Psalm 35. I made a mistake when I turned that in. It is Psalm 36. If you're following along in Psalm 35, you will be horrified. That's not the psalm. It's Psalm 36. Okay, so in verse 7 of Psalm 36, it says that people take refuge in under a bird's wing or under God's wing. So it's that metaphor. But that's not the only place. In the Psalms, there are like 8-10 places where it talks about being protected by God's wing, and that's not the only place. In Deuteronomy 32, there's this image of God protecting Israel, like the nation of Israel, but often in the Bible, when they talk about Israel, they'll talk about it as male singular, but it is the nation of Israel. And it says, in a desert land, he found him. In a barren and howling waste, he shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. That's like the pupil of your eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. So it's a beautiful poetry to talk about what God has done for God's people. And then we have this really moving passage that appears in Matthew and Luke. It's based on an Old Testament scripture, but it's Jesus looking out over Jerusalem. And Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. So I have this image of this protective bird caring for people. Now, as I read 36, Psalm 36, I found so much more there than about this protective wing that I want to talk a little bit more about it. I will admit that I'm doing a dangerous thing. I'm taking what is meant as lovely poetry, and I'm going to take it apart. But bear with me, I will try not to make it painful. So don't go back to your days of learning poetry and say, don't torture me. But so this psalm is often called a psalm of lament, a psalm, a personal psalm, psalm of appeal, asking God for help. But right in the center, verses 5-9, is this statement of faith. And what I find remarkable about this statement of faith is it goes from the kind of the grandest, biggest, down to the most intimate. It starts by saying, in metaphor, God, your love is like the heavens. And then kind of moves down, your skies are like your faith. Skies are like your faithfulness. And the mountains are like your strength is like the mountains. And then it talks about the deep, that your justice reaches to the deep. So from the highest to the lowest, and then even to the most intimate, because the next verse talks about that people and animals are cared for by you. So from the grandest to the deepest. And I want to talk a little bit about what that might mean in our lives. It begins by talking, the psalmist begins by talking about the heavens. That the heavens are like the unbounded love of God. Now we have some struggles with that unbounded kind of thing, because sometimes we get this idea in our head what unbounded means. And what we figure is it means kind of our definition of who God loves. And so we're left to ask, you know, does God love the people who are in the news reports? Is God's love present in Baltimore? Is God's love present in Nepal? Is God's love present in Syria? And we start to kind of put some boundaries on where God's love is. But the grandest, biggest thing is the heavens, and God's love is unbounded like them. And so it's an unconditional love larger than we can understand. And then we talk about the skies, and the skies are like God's faithfulness. Now, we sometimes talk about, you know, we can believe in the faithfulness of the sun. You know, the sun comes up, the sun rises, we can count on it. We can think about what's faithful in our lives. But have you ever thought about how faithful the sky is? It's like there. You can't not have the sky. And so the sky will change, of course, but the sky exists. And it's so much a part of our reality, we don't even think about it. It's just there, from horizon to horizon, and all of its colors and all of its changeability, but it's there. And what this says is that God's faithfulness is like that. It's always there. Now, you may have things that you've counted on in your life, and you've said, this will be dependable, this will be faithful. I have to tell you, my nephew lost his job this week, and he is in shock, because he just figured he would have the job. I'll tell you, he works in works in Alberta. He works for the provincial government, and he's an assistant to the Minister of Human Services for the government. And the government in Canada is very much like in England. They just call these elections when there's some call that the government might not be fully supported. So they called this election, and my nephew is a part of the Progressive Conservative Party of Alberta, has been for years. And they were in charge, and the National Democratic Party swept the elections. They took all the seats. and the premier and every minister is out, and with them all their people. So I asked my nephew, I said, Mike, why don't you just, you know, get a civil servant job, just get a job. He said, how can I? They know who I am. They're not going to hire me. And so he's out. And I'll tell you the reason that it's so upsetting and so shocking, because he's upset, Alberta's amazed, Canada's in shock, because the Progressive Conservative Party has been in power in Alberta for 40 years. 40 years. And he just assumed he was in, that his career was going to be with that party. And I think that all of us perhaps have something in our lives where we have been depending that this will stay, that this will be faithful, and it falls, but the sky stays. And like the sky, God is dependable. And then it talks about God's strength is like the mountains. The mountains in Near East cosmology or understanding of the universe, the ancient Near Eastern understanding was that the mountains were kind of like anchored to the earth. They held up the skies. They pushed back the waters. The absolute strength for everything to exist and be was because of the mountains. That's God's strength. That there will not be anything that can exist without God. And then it talks about God's justice. Now, when we think about justice, we usually think of, I want justice for those people, mercy for myself, right? But justice just means making things right. Our judicial system, as flawed as it is, has a pure goal to make things right, okay? So God's justice is to do that. And in the Near Eastern understanding of the universe, the deep was a place of chaos, of unknown, of uncontrolled. And so what it is God's justice reaches into the chaos and to the unknown and makes things right. Now we have an idea that we can control justice, but this is ultimately where God's strength is, where God's justice is. So can you imagine this beautiful song of faith that God's love is unbounded. God's faithfulness is like the skies. God's strength holds everything together and makes everything possible. And God's justice will reach into the darkest places in the world. That's why the psalmist goes on to say, God's light gives the people light, gives me light. In the darkest places, I can see. And I have to tell you, something else that I learned about robins along the way, that robins can have broods three times a year. They start in April. They can go all the way till July. But it's a difficult life. 40%, it's 40% survival when the eggs are laid, before they even hatch. Only 40% of the eggs will survive to hatch. And of those 40%, 25% will survive to November. A robin can live, I read this at the Cornell ornithology site, a robin can live over 20 years, but it's believed that the absolute the turnover of robins is every 6 years. Life is tenuous. It's a difficult thing. And I think to myself, that robin who is protecting those eggs is doing it against all odds, has dug in and is spreading its wings so that there might be protection and that these eggs might survive. The psalmist calls that love of God, that care of God, that strength of God, priceless. Not something we can pay for, not something that we can earn, but simply is ours without price. And then says, this is what we do. We take refuge in the shadow of God's wing. Refuge doesn't mean like standing under some picnic shelter. Doesn't mean putting up an umbrella. Refuge is dependence. That we become dependent on this amazing God. And so, the psalmist goes on to say, this is where we get our food. This is where we get our drink. This is where we get our light. This is nurturing. What would it be like in our lives if we decided that this would be where we would depend on a God who loves us in a boundless way? and a God who is faithful beyond our understanding, whose strength holds us together, and will bring good and rightness in this world. I had the opportunity to talk with Ella Stephan, and I've invited her to come up, and we're gonna talk together a little bit about God's love. So come on up, Ella. I actually have some questions for Ella, so we'll see how she does. All right. Okay, so first of all, I was wondering if you could tell me who's here with you today.
They're right over there.
Okay, and who is over there?
My mom, Amy, my dad, Tim, and my brother, Parker, is at Sunday school.
All right. So what school do you go to?
Horning.
Horning School. And what grade are you in?
Second.
Second grade. And rather than say how old you are, can you tell us what year you were born in?
2007.
2007. What were you doing then? So you're 8 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, 8 years old. Okay. So when we talked earlier, you have something special about you, right? And you wanted to tell your class about it, your second grade class. Mm-hmm. Would you mind talking to us about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was this morning. I had went up to my teacher, and a couple weeks before that, with my tics, I had accidentally hit cadence. And she's like, "Hey, what was that for?" And I'm like, "Sorry," and I told Ms. Fulton, "Can I talk to the class about my tics? Hopefully they'll understand my tics a bit more." And she said, "Okay, before we go to gym," and we all gathered on the carpet. I spoke to my class about what tics are and when I first started my tics, and I had facial tics when I was 4, so that's when they first started. And twice in my speech, I had said, tics are something your body has to do. And then Ms. Fulton said, "Well, let's answer questions." And Finn, a boy in my class, raised his hand, and he's like, "What are tics?" I'm like, "I said it twice. Tics are something your body has to do." And then I think he raised his hand again and said, "What are tics?" And I'm like, "Weren't you listening?"
All right. It's very courageous of you to do that. Yeah. Yeah, don't you agree? Yes, it was. Yeah. So then, as Ella and I were talking, I was just curious, and I asked you about what do you think that God thinks about you and about these tics?
I think he thinks that I am perfectly made and no one is better than me.
And we also talked about prayer. Remember the time mm-hmm. of prayer? So I just thought maybe you could share about when you pray and maybe even a little bit about what you pray about.
Well, once I prayed twice in school the same prayer. I think it was either in the same week or the same day. I can't remember. It was about like maybe last year. And so at home, I usually pray sometimes at breakfast and always at dinner. Whenever my mom puts me to bed, we always say prayers. And here's just a little sample of what I pray about. Sometimes the beginning and end are always the same. I'm like, eh. So I usually say, "Dear God, thank you for this day, and I pray that you will help us to have a good day tomorrow, and that you will help those in need, and that we will have a restful night, and that you will send our angels of protection around those that we love. And I pray that you will help those that are sick to be better. And if someone has lost a loved one, that you will comfort them. And then I say something else, and then I say amen.
All right. Nice prayer, isn't it? Nice prayer. I wanted to give you a chance. If you had something, look at all these people here. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? They're very brave. If you could tell these people something about God, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that God loves nobody more than another person. It's just like my brother. If you look at your pinky, if you go down, from his knuckle is bent in that way, and he's missing part of his right foot. And I think God thinks we are all perfectly made in his image.
Amen. All right. So I have to tell people here, the reason that Elle is up here is because she told her parents that someday she wanted to give a sermon. And
really?
And I'm wondering, Ella, what are some other things that you hope to do while you're growing up and when you grow up?
So maybe go around the world and tell people about God. And I was thinking that I would build a church, and I can't remember what it was. I think it was, what was it, Mom, again? I wanted to build a church in, I can't remember. I wanted to build a church in Israel where the most people were that didn't know about God.
Amazing, yeah. So I've asked Ella if we could pray for her, and pray for her in her bravery and courage at school, but also that she might, by God's grace, be able to do everything that she wants to do. So let's pray. Lord, we ask your blessing on Ella. For her courage, we give thanks. For her insight into who you are, we give thanks. For your deep, deep love of her, we are so thankful. Bless her in what she does today and in the days ahead and all of her life, that she might grow in strength and love and grace by your hand. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to close this out, I asked Ella if she might bless you. And so I think, does your dad have your...
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Dad.
Okay, you can offer this blessing.
This is from Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Amen. Let's thank Ella for talking with us. You did so well. Do you want to go back to your mom?